All right, so Parshas Vayera. Parshas Vayera. Find ourselves in the next part of Avram's life, and the Avram leading himself and Sarah into Yitzchak. And what I thought we would do today is talk about the role of laughter in that story, because there's a lot of laughter in this story, a lot of it. Okay, let's take a look. We're going to take a look at three. Usually I give you one story. I'm sorry, this week we're going to do three or almost four places where we find the word or phrase or shoresh, tzachak, over and over and over and over in this story. Okay, so take a look at source number one. This is actually from last week's parsha. Mm-hmm. Her name's not going to be Sarah anymore. It's going to be Sarah. It's going to be Sarah. So by the way, it was last week that Hashem tells Avram they're going to have a baby. They're going to have a son from Sarah. And he laughs. Or he does whatever tzachak is. Okay, but let's say that he laughs. If you don't believe Bo, really? Like, I'm 100 years old, God. Like, I'm going to have... Didn't say it to Hashem. But he thinks in his head, like, that's a little crazy. Okay. And by the way, the end, you're going to call him Yitzchak. By the way, Yitzchak is not a name that Avram and Sarah choose. It's a name that Hashem told them to choose.
Yeah, right.
Okay, Hashem told them to choose that name. This is not random that they get this name. This name is determined by the Ribbono Shel Olam, so it must be important.
What age did people stop living again, like so many
years? Oh, good. So Rashi actually asked her question. Rashi's like, a lot of people have babies when they're 500 and 700. What's the big deal? So the answer is that at a certain point, Hashem, even at the end of, Bereishis, Hashem says, like, I'm not interested in this long life. We're going to make people live 120 years. It doesn't really happen yet.
Right.
In the days of
she
Noah, because Noah also lives like, whatever he lives. He's 500 before he has any kids or whatever. But eventually what happens is that Hashem says it's enough. Right? And he starts shrinking the years.
Isn't there also some reference of like the ways of the woman were no longer with her? Or was that what?
Yes, we're going to get there. Okay. Yeah. So this is just Hashem's.
Because it wasn't just like, oh, she's old arbitrarily. It was like, she wasn't meant to.
She's 100 years old. Yeah. 90 years old. Yeah. And 90 years old then, again, Avram lives like 175. So it's not like, 90 is not today's 90, but 90 is, 65 or 70. You know what I mean? It's a lot. So fine. But good. So that's the first time we find the word Yitzchak as laughing, presumably, and it has his name. But now I come to this week's parsha. Okay? The malachim show up. The men. These men, these mysterious men show up with Avram Avinu. And one of the things that they tell him, he says, well, she's not, we're sorry, she's not here, she's in the other tent. So they tell him, I'm going to come back a year from now, she's going to have a baby. And Sarah hears this thing. Okay? Ve'avram ve'zarah zikainim bayim bayamim chadals liyos Sarah or chanashim. Lest you might think, Jess, like Jess pointed out, that what do you mean? They used to live to 500, so I was 90 years old. That's like being 27. And she was not 27. She was like a real 90, the real deal, right? She's an old lady now, right? This is not going to happen. And physiologically, she could not have children, okay? Vatitzchak Sarah b'kirba le'mor. Sarah laughs. Acharei b'losi ha'isaliyad nabar. And he's like, hey, I can't do this anymore. And my husband can't. He's also very old. Ironically, Avram actually has more children after Sarah dies with what's her name? Hagar, well, we say Hagar, but it's Keturah. Keturah, he marries Keturah later on. Somebody said that was Hagar, he came back. So he actually has kids even older than this, but okay, fine. But it was still considered very old. So Sarah laughs. What's presumably, what does that mean?
That he didn't tell her.
He didn't tell her. Hashem had told him, but he didn't tell her. Surprising.
Also, this is any evidence of anything. Someone got me this book. It's called Sarah Laughed, and Sarah Laughed, and it's like different stories of like, females in the Tanakh, but it's more of like a secular book, I think. But like Avram was the first one who laughed. So correct. It's so funny that we like associate like Sarah laughing.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. Laughing correct. When it's, like, it's important to see. There's more to it than that. Correct. Absolutely. Good. Okay. Fine. So now Sarah laughs. And how does Hashem respond to that laughing? Not so happy. Vayom Hashem
l'Avram. What a double standard.
Good. Why is Sarah laughing? Lemor ha'af umnam elei vanizakanti, saying that I'm old. Okay, this is the source we learn. Mutul l'shanos m'pnei ha'shalom. That a person is allowed to lie for shalom bayis. Be very careful with this, but it is true. Because Hashem did. What did Sarah say? She said, my husband's old. And he says, why did Sarah laugh and say, I'm old? That's not what she said. Okay, so why? So Rashi there says, you see from here, HaKadosh Baruch himself changed the truth a little bit for shalom bayis. Okay. Vayomer Hashem al Avraham. Lama is the sorry. Hayipalei Hashem davar. Can I? Is there anything I can't do? Lamoed. He has the same conversation with Moshe Rabbeinu, right? When Moshe Rabbeinu says, like, how am I going to find all this meat for the Jewish people? And Hashem's like, remember me, God. I can do whatever I want. Right? It's fascinating. Like, you know, Lamoed Hashuv Elecha. Yes, Chayar. So I'm going to come back to you a year from now. She's going to have a baby. Va'atikachech sarale more. And Sarah responds. How does she respond? Who told her that Hashem was angry? Maybe Avram told her. Now Avram does tell her. Okay. I didn't laugh. Ki areya. I was nervous. I was afraid. I don't know. Vayomer lo ki sachakt. Not true. You did laugh. What a story.
He said, she said.
Right. With God.
Right. Yeah, like the finger pointing. But it's like Adam and Chava vibes. Like, why are you like hiding in life?
Good, good, good. Right. Okay, we're not done.
But also like, Sarah laughed and she's like, oh, but my husband's old. Like, we're not going to be able to have a baby. But then Hashem spoke to Avraham, not her.
Good.
In response.
Good.
And then we don't get a response from Avraham. We get a response from Sarah.
Good.
So is it like, there's this direct line, and Sarah, she's like standing next to the phone, be like, no. Tell him I meant this.
By the way, the Malachim don't even tell her. They tell Avram when she's listening in the kitchen.
Right.
Like, is she, I don't know. If I were the woman in this story, I'd be like,
this wouldn't go very well for you, Jess. This wouldn't go well for Jess. No. But don't worry. I told you, we don't have one story to read this week. We have three stories to read this week. Okay, so now, jump now to that source number three. This is later on in the Parsha. Okay, this is all the way at the end. Perek Chafalef. Vashem Pakarat Sari. There's other things that happen in the Torah, in this week's Parsha, besides these stories, but this is where we are today. Vashem Pakarat Sarak Hashem Amar. Hashem remembers Sarah, like he said he would. Vayas Hashem L'Sarak Hashem Diber. And he does for Sarah like he said he would. By the way, as an aside, this story happens right after Sarah is taken the second time by Avimelech. The punishment for Avimelech and his family is that no one has any children. So when it's time for them to leave, Avram davens for Avimelech's family that what they should be able to have children again. And then Vashem Pakarat Sarah Kasher Amar. And that's what the Gemara learns, this idea that if you have something that you need, down with someone else, you'll be answered, right? So that comes from this story. But fine. It's an aside point, yeah.
I don't know that this probably wasn't the point, actually. Look at the title of this one.
Well, don't read too much into the title.
Okay. Well, sometimes it is, because sometimes the title...
But I always tell you that my titles are not really so great.
But I don't know, I feel like we're just getting this picture of Sarah as this, like, passive character who, like, has a voice, but, like, no one's really listening to it.
Good.
Also, like, I don't know where else we use the word pakad, but usually remember is zachar. So, like... Why
remembering? What did Hashem forget? Usually, Hashem's remembering is a different conversation, but Hashem's remembering, like we have all the zichronos in Rosh Hashanah, it's usually because Hashem means Hashem's going to do something now. Hashem doesn't remember, Hashem doesn't forget. But Hashem's remembering in the Torah always reflects he's now going to do, he remembers Noach, right? He remembers Sarah, he remembers the Avos in Egypt, right? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and now he's going to do something. It's always like Hashem is now ready to take what has happened before and now use it to do something about it.
Right. And he does it with the word zachar.
Yeah. Oh, there's other places where the word pakad comes up. It means zachar. But yes, it's a fair question. We're not going to talk about it today.
Fine.
But yes, it's a fair question. But now what happens? They have a baby. Vayikra Avram et shem b'noha nola lo asher yada lo sarah Yitzchak. So what did they call him? Yitzchak. Surprise. Because God told him to. Okay. Mm-hmm. But take a look at Parsha's test. Vatera Sarah's Ben Hagar. Sorry. There's more to it. By Yom Avram Yitzchak Beno, Ben Shmonas Yamim, Kasher Tzivas Elokim, by Avram Ben Me'ashana, by Yivalila Yitzchak Beno, Vatomer Sarah, I didn't bold this one, sorry. Tzichok Asali Elokim, Kol Shomea Yitzchakli. What does that mean? Hashem did a tzichok.
Today that's a joke.
Hashem made a joke. That's modern Hebrew. Hashem made a laughing for me. Everyone who hears about this is going to Yitzchakli laugh. Oh, does it mean mock me? Or does it mean be happy for me?
Right.
Okay, maybe it means one, maybe it means both.
I'm a laughing stock now.
Am I a laughing stock? Or are people happy for me?
It's interesting people learned from this. Because in Rut, at the end, they considered the baby Naomi's baby.
Right, Naomi's baby, right? Yeah.
And so they knew.
Right.
The right person had the right baby.
Right, but this idea, like, what does it mean they're laughing? Laughing for what? Positive or negative? And we want to see an example of laughing for the negative. Take a look at Pasuk Tes. Fascinating, that comes right afterwards. Literally 3 Pesukim later. Vateres Sarah es ben Hagar ha-Mitzris ashi yodal le-Avraham mitzachek. Wow. So it's random that's the word that's used. That she sees that Yishmael is doing something bad. Whatever it is, it's a bad thing because she wants to kick him out of the house because of it. So some say it's Avodah Zarah. It means, you know, the big three, whatever he's doing. Bad stuff. Maybe he's
misachek,
playing.
In the old, yeah.
We're going to see the word misachek. The word sachak and sachak are related, yeah. Absolutely. But it's clearly something bad. It doesn't mean he's playing. Whatever. Shesh besh. It means that there's something that she doesn't like because that's the beginning of the story of the kicking out of Yishmael from the house. So something that she doesn't like. Chazal pick up. You know, he was attacking. Attacking Yitzchak, making fun of him. But there's something misachek. Has a negative implication there. There's something negative connotation of the word mitzachek.
You could read Pasuk Vav like generously, and like it could be like a lighthearted thing. Like,
yeah, tzchok asal yelokim.
Laughter, like laughter. Yeah.
Wonderful, right?
Usually associated with joy.
Good.
And he heard my laugh, and almost like he turned, me like laughing, disbelief, scoffing at something into something like lighthearted, wonderful, amazing. But that argument doesn't really track.
What I would argue, good. What I would argue then, even just from reading these three sections of the Torah, we probably have more than one definition of the word tzachak. How would you, or even if you want to call them all laughing, there's different types of laughing, right? What can laughing be?
Okay. It's like kind of like what Justin
so said. Laughing
it's like
can
two
be
sides to the coin. Right?
Good.
It could be like you're laughing out of like happiness or like. Just like you're like surprised, it's like not a negative connotation versus like laughing could be like mockery, teasing someone.
Right, so laughing can be out of
like lack of bitachon.
Right, so laughing can be out of simcha, right? You feel happy.
It can be a nervous laugh.
It can be nervous.
Anxious, yeah. Okay.
It can be like a disbelief, like a laugh of like, well, no, that's like can't be.
Don't some people say that's why like Sarah, like that they were not believing in Hashem, they could do that? Like they're questioning Hashem,
good.
But with a negative.
Well, you see, at some point, Hashem is upset about the laughing.
Right.
So there's certainly laughing that Hashem doesn't like. Right. So maybe the laugh becomes like either a mockery, right? Or it could be laughing that is a, like a, you know, almost like a lack of belief, right? Disbelief type of laugh. And there's certainly laughing that's like a besimcha.
But do you have Naomi Yitzchak to permanently remind them of your disbelief in Hashem forever?
So like what's
like,
really,
it's like very,
what I think is awesome, and we're going to have to understand before our time is up today, is this must be a really important concept, this idea of the laughing. Okay. This idea of the laughing.
Come sit here.
Want to sit here?
Come sit here. Just sit right here.
He said, Rona's not here. Clearly the laughing is that important that Hashem doesn't leave it to chance to see what exactly his name will be. He wants it to be some type of lasting element of the laughing, which is a lot of laughing, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anywhere else in the Torah where the word sachak comes out so many times, mm-hmm. over and over and over and over, right? There's something about the laughing that Hashem wants us to remember forever. It's the guy's name, right? It's the name of one of the Avos now. Number two, right? He's going to have forever Yitzchak. That's a name everyone's going
to
have.
But that also tells me, like, it makes it hard to think that we're using this word in, like, to define it as mocking, because why would Hashem then make that Yitzchak's name?
So why would it be permanently forever a negative?
Okay,
thing.
It shouldn't be negative.
Right.
Thing.
Good.
It
good.
Means that it's probably so, something positive.
Ah, so we got to figure out what it is that we're doing with this word. Good. So, good. So we don't have, once I decided we're going to look at all the places, I'm like, shoot, but we usually look at one thing, and then we just say a bunch of mafarshim in that one space. But right now, we'd be here for 3 hours, so, which would be great, but I think we have other things to do also. So what I want to do is, I'm going to show you a couple of Rashis, and it's 4-0, and then we're going to see more. But let's just go, you'll see. Okay, I never do well when I try to explain what we're going to do. It doesn't work out. Okay, so let's just go. Just go with it. Okay, take a look at Rashi on our, right? Vayipol Avram al panav vayitzchak. So this is Rashi on the first time. The first time Avram laughs. Okay? Says Rashi, Zer tir game unklus vachadi. Lashom simcha. I don't know Aramaic well enough to tell you. Or at least even the Aramaic that I know doesn't always work with unklus. Vachdi, I don't know that word at all. But he says Lashon simcha. Okay, Vishel Sara. Lashon machuch. Okay, machuch is like the language in Aramaic that usually means like a chucha is like a joke. It's like a more of a mockery. Sometimes the Gemara will say that they didn't want to do certain things in halacha because they didn't want to turn into a chucha tlula, turn into a joke, into a mockery. So the language of the laughing of Avram is a lashon simcha, but the lashon of Sarah is a lashon of mockery. Okay, l'manatisha Avram heimin v'samach. Right, that Avram, when he hears this, he's happy. He believes in Hashem. When Hashem says you're going to have a baby, he believed him and he was happy. So he laughed. Okay, v'sara lo heimina v'laglaga. So Sarah didn't believe, and therefore she mocked. Okay, so you're going to say to me, but wait a second, the word is just the same exact word. There's no way I know based on the word what it means. Okay, but what's the answer? But answer that question for me. What is Rashi basing himself on? Well, actually, he's going to tell you in a second.
By, I don't know, by Yipol Avraham al Pana.
Okay, he falls on his face. Okay.
I don't know.
Well, so Rashi tells you. V'zehu shehikpid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asara v'lo hikpid al Avraham. You can tell by the response. The Ribbono Shel Olam responds in a very different way. It has a different word. Here's kapad, which means to be makbid, to care, to be upset. Mm-hmm. Right? That Hashem doesn't respond to Avram. He responds only to Sarah. So if that's true, what must be true?
He was fine and she was not.
There was something that Hashem heard in Avram's laugh that he was okay with, and something he heard in Sarah's laugh that he was not okay with. Not something that we could hear. Right, from what we hear, it sounds the same.
Tone, but the fact that
right, so it's like texting. Never, I always tell my students, they don't make a. You make a phone call to one of these kids, it is like something must be on fire if you're calling them on the phone, right? They only want to text. But I remind them that if you text, you lose tone, right? And you can't tell what the person means. So never ever have a meaningful conversation in text message. It'll be a disaster, right? So. But
she
sort of
bad for Sarah a little bit. It's like her, I feel like her mockery just comes from disbelief, but not like not belief in Hashem. Just like, I guess it's born out of like pain of 90 years of being barren.
Absolutely, and we're gonna have space.
Like
we're gonna make space. We're gonna make space for Sarah in a second.
Right?
Yeah, I couldn't. I wasn't gonna bring that. I was like, should I even quote this? Rashi says it makes people angry. But we have to see it. But we're gonna make space for Sarah. Don't worry. Okay. We're gonna make space for Sarah. But yes. But at this point, sounds like Hashem says, not enough belief. Avram, enough belief. Okay? Halavain, right? He says, is it going to be, I'm going to have a child? Yesh temihut shehein kayamut. Kamo ha-nigla, ha-nigla. Is it really like that? It's called the hea she'ela. Right? Is it really possible? Right? I don't want to get into this right now, but yeah, that's what he's saying. Fine. V'kach amar, b'libo, ha-nasa chesed ze la'acher, ma'asha kadosh baruch hu seli. The Avram's laughing was like, wow. I can't believe it. Hashem's going to do this for me? That's crazy.
Hashem, Avram knew he could have children because Ishmael was already born.
Okay.
Sarah had no reason to think that she could.
Okay.
And probably up until the last 50 years, it was always assumed that it was the woman's fault when someone didn't have children.
Right.
Only now we know that.
Right.
It's
right.
Not necessarily that except for Rambam. But,
right.
She took it much more seriously.
Right. You're saying it's easier for Avram to imagine it because he himself already has a child.
Right.
Yes. Right, so, so right, meaning, again, this is not, and by the way, we're not playing the blame game here.
Right.
Right? But the point is that, I think your point is that maybe Avram is easy, has an easier time to believe it. We're going to
right.
get back, we're going to come back to this
before.
As we move along. He has an easier time to believe it because he just had a child 13 years ago
right.
when he was 86.
Yeah, so
right?
Now.
Right? So he's excited, right? And he can't believe the chesed that he's going to be able to have a child with Sarah, the mm-hmm. woman that he loves, his wife.
And also
right?
he says, Yishmael isn't going to be the one.
Right.
He already knew Yishmael isn't going to be the one to inherit.
Right. Good.
So he already had another reason.
Good, good. And then Rashi says, V'karas Yishmo Yitzchak, why does Hashem say call him Yitzchak? Al Shem HaTzchok. What does that mean?
On account of?
The laughter.
Laughter.
Which laughter? Okay, it doesn't say.
Well, he
just
says
the laughing.
He said it after Avraham's laughter, so it has to be after the joyous laughter.
Ah, so maybe the joyous laughter. Okay, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Good. By the way, this other point I just think is interesting. V'yesh omrim. This is not as often quoted. Al shem yud nisyonot. Avraham goes through 10 tests. Tough vitzadi shana shel Sarah. Sorry, not tough. Vitzadi Sarah shel shana and the 90 years of Sarah. V'ches yamim shenimo and the 8 days that he was get a bris. V'kuf shana shel Avraham Yitzchak. The Avraham went through 10 tests. She was 90, he was 100, and he had his bris in the 8th day. Name? Yitzchak. Okay.
That's cute.
Okay, like cute.
Bris naming.
Cute, okay, fine. Fine, but what I really want to focus on is the first answer, right? Ashema Tzchok. Okay, good. But now let's look at Sarah. Now Sarah laughs. And when Sarah laughs, Vatitzchak Sarah Bikirba Lemor. She laughs to herself, by the way. She doesn't say it to anybody. She doesn't like, right? Bikirba. But why is the language that she laughs Bikirba? Inside. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Mistakelat b'meyeha. V'amra efsher ha-kravim ha-lalu tu'unim v'lad. Meaning she is looking at the reality in front of herself. She's like, this is not physically possible. Mm-hmm. This cannot happen. Right? Right? Hashadim ha-lalu shetzam gumoshkin chalaf. I mean, the point about that, my body is not prepared for this. This is not possible. My body is not able. I used to be able. I am no longer able. This is crazy. Right? So Vatitzchak Sarah Bekerba, I love that language, right? That what Rashi is saying is that yes, it means that she said it inside, but it means it's a reflection of the reality in front of her that didn't seem possible. And by the way, Avram's response, as you pointed out before, is also a reflection of the reality in front of him, which he just had a baby mm-hmm. right, at a very old age. And she's like, but this is not possible, right? So, fine. So, and Svarna mentions a similar thing here also. So the point being that they... I'll tell you outside. This one is something very interesting. He said that Sarah thought it was a malach. Sarah thought that the man speaking was a man. And he was a Navi. And when a Navi says something, it's okay, it could like come true in a certain way or not. She didn't know it was a malach. She knows it was a Kadosh Baruch himself. So she had less of a belief in that because she didn't feel this was like, you know, it was like a bracha. It was like a person saying, it should be, Bezos Hashem, I'll come back next year, you have a baby. Okay, that's nice. She didn't know it was a malach talking to her, right? She thought it was a person. They came as humans. So she didn't know that's what was happening here. But fine. But take a look now. We're going to have a couple of answers that I really, really, really like. As usual, I found something I thought was really fun and cool in those down in the Torah, from Saratskin, source number 7. And he writes two really interesting things. Source number 7, he says the following. Lama amar zos la'avram. Yom Hashem la'avram. Lama zet ha'chasara. So it says the Zayim Torah. Lama Amar, what are you talking to Avram for? Who are you upset at?
Sarah.
So why is he telling Avram? Halo tov yoter haya lomar zot yashar l'sara. Tell her. And by the way, sharei gedolah haita benuvah me'Avram.
And I read she did know that they were malachim.
Right.
There are some commentaries.
Yeah. But the point being, Sarah, Chazal tell us, is actually on a higher level of nuvah than Avram himself. So why does Hashem have to talk to Avram and be angry, reveal his anger to Avram? V'lo yet tzorach l'baisha b'fnei Avram. Why does he have to embarrass her? He doesn't know what Avram doesn't know how Sarah responded. She's responded b'kirba. He has no idea. Why are you like telling him? Gam lo yet tzorach l'shanot m'pnei shalom v'lomar v'ani zagadi. And also Hashem doesn't have to lie. Hashem lies and says that Sarah said, I'm old, but she didn't say. She said my husband's old. So why all the song and dance? Just talk to Sarah directly. Mifarshi HaTorah Hikshu. V'lama ochiach et Sarah v'lo ochiach as Avram. And then some ask, and why go after Sarah and not go after Avram Avinu? Why only angry at Sarah? Shenar ma'bo v'yitzchak v'yitzchak v'yomim b'libo halabein me'yash and aviv v'leid. Avram says basically the exact same thing that she said. So he writes the following. I never saw this before until today. U'matzasi b'medrash hagadol teretz nifla. Akushi achron, I saw a beautiful teretz, he said. An amazing answer to this, the last question. L'lamedcha sheshnayim she'asu davar shelo gehogen, v'ya echa mehen gadol ve'echa katan. You have two people who did the wrong thing. One's greater and one's not as great. Ein memachin ela bekatan, v'hagadol margish me'elav. You go to one of them, go to the one who's like a little less high, and the greater one will notice it initially. And this answers our question also. Lama zet sarah l'Avraham. Why? Kedeshi yargish. Shegam hu nechsha b'chetze v'yashuv alav. What's happening here? He's upset at both of them. Hashem's upset at both of them. Okay? So what does he do? He says to Avram, why does Sarah laugh? Because Sarah's greater than Avram in that way. And what's Avram going to notice?
I laughed.
Shoot, I also did it. Right? And that his attack, with Hashem's response, was actually not only to Sarah, it was also to Avram. But by telling Avram about Sarah, it was a way of Avram learning that same lesson at the same time. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't just talking to Avram, talking about Sarah. He was actually talking and by telling Avram directly, rather than going to Sarah directly, if he would have just gone to Sarah, who wouldn't have heard the story? Avram would have heard. Okay, so he could still answer, go to each of them. Fine. But that he wants to argue it's actually to both of them. And by talking to Avram, he's like a way of being, you know, reminding him, like, you also have something here, Avram. This is not just on Sarah. Fine. But take a look at the second point he says. V'atomer Sarah tzachak tzachok asili alokim kol shamei yitzachakli. Kasher kara Avram Avinu et shem beno yitzchak efshir haya lomar she'isher bazeh she'amnam tzachaka Sarah v'hi halo amra lo tzachakti. Meaning you could argue that, when he talks about, he calls him Yitzchak, like, I don't know, it's like a little hard. Lachain hisbira ata Sarah. So Sarah wants to explain. Right? So, meaning Avram gave the name. It's like a little uncomfortable because Sarah laughed and she got admonished. Right? It's like a little funny. Lachain hisbira ata Sarah. Sarah wants to explain. Shalom ichi saron emuna b'divrei hamalach tzachaka. She says, I didn't laugh because I didn't believe. I couldn't believe it. Like we say, I couldn't believe it. That's why I laughed. Right? Sharei afilu achshav. Even now. Acharei asher asa li elokim et apela azeh hu tzchok b'enai. I still can't believe it. In front of me. V'lo rak b'enai. Ach gam kol ha-shomei tzachakli. Sarah's almost like, it's almost like a defense of herself. And she's responding like, it's not true. I really did. It's not that I didn't believe in Hashem. But it's such a crazy miracle that I almost, like, I literally couldn't believe such a thing could happen. And so when they name him, she says, they name him Yitzchak as a way of kind of reflecting that she continues to be in this state of, like, I cannot believe it, it's so crazy. Okay? So that is just two, like, details that he wants to say. But the piece that I think really helps me with this whole laughing piece comes from Rav Hirsch, we'll see, and then we're going to see a little bit from Rav Soloveitchik also. And he writes the following. The commentators strain to interpret the Yitzchak as an expression of joy, but the meaning of Yitzchak throughout Tanakh does not allow such an interpretation here. Even Sachak is not really an expression of joy. Sachak denotes laughter, as a rule, mocking, deprecative laughter, meaning to deprecate, right, to put someone down. Laughter that denies and condemns the thing that triggers it. As it says here of Avram, so it says below of Sarah. V'atitzchak Sarah, and that surely was not an expression of joy. Had it been an expression of joy, Sarah would not have denied that she had laughed, and God would not have reproached her. Sha'ag, za'ak, tza'ak, sachak, tzachak are related roots, that they have apparently opposite denotations. The ones whose middle letter is ayin, or aleph, denote crying out, right? Za'ak, tza'ak, right? Sha'ag, that's like, sha'ag is a roar. Right? Za'ak and tza'ak is to scream out. Those, you know, vayizak Mordechai, Zakag Dolam Ramaod, right? That he cries out to Hashem. Those whose middle letter is Chet denotes laughter. What is the common basis of these two different phenomena, crying out and laughter? Both are triggered by the confluence of incompatible opposites. The objective reaction to such confluence is laughter. The subjective reaction is crying out. Noticing incongruity is something dissociated from ourselves, even if dissociated only temporarily, makes us laugh. Right? Why do we laugh? A joke. It's irony. By a comedic irony. Something that doesn't, like, you couldn't expect. Like, oh, that doesn't make sense. Right? Something that's out of sorts. Right? Someone who looks a certain way and talks a different way or whatever. Like, these are things that make us laugh because it's surprising, right? It doesn't fit, right? A child wearing a wig, an old man dressed as a baby, and the like elicit laughter. So does the disparity between expectation, mission, or performance and the means available for it, or the disparity between expectation and performance. One who would measure the waters of the sea with a nutshell, or an adult who slips and trips, makes us laugh. But if we identify with the person and empathize with his pain or shame, we feel like crying out. Skip a line. In any case, tzachak, tzchok, is triggered only by noticing something ridiculous or absurd. And there could be no greater absurdity than the expectation now held by Avraham. Avraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. In the course of their long married life, Avraham had no children by Sarah. Now, practically, at the end of their lives, they were to have a son. The birth of this child would be totally unexpected. And even if it were to be born, he would be an only child, and in all likelihood would be orphaned at an early age. Yet the prospects of a great nation destined to prevail over the entire world, the hopes of all of mankind, are to rest on this late-born orphaned youth. If we consider only the natural course of things, this expectation seems totally absurd, like mountains hanging by a hair. That's a phrase in Hebrew, right? Indeed, it was a great absurdity. And even Avraham, who by throwing himself down on his face had already expressed his confidence, could not help but laugh. Great and significant, meaning that the pull up Hanav was like the thank you, but he, right. Even but Avraham laughed. Right? It's like, it's absurd, right? It's repeated below in connection with Sarah and will be evoked for all time by the name of the promised child. The beginning of the Jewish people was absurd. To the rational mind, which calculates only on the basis of cause and effect, this people's history, expectations, hopes, and life appear as a monstrous, ludicrous pretension. Jewish history begins to make sense, indeed deserves to be studied with utmost seriousness, only if one evaluates on the basis of the higher causality of the cause of all causes. If one believes in the free, omnipotent will of the free God, who acts freely and intervenes powerfully in the affairs of the world. Meaning, what is the point, according to Rav Hirsch, of all of this, the story of Yitzchak's birth, being associated with laughter?
It's like our history also of the Jewish people. It's kind of like Sonori said last week, in some ways, like people wouldn't necessarily believe like that we could do it type thing, like we could overcome. So it's like our whole, like, I don't know, coming of our nation is like a surprise. It's like incongruous. It's like almost like
the laughter. Whole thing makes no sense.
No one could think that we could survive or do all these things.
Right. Meaning the future of all of Am Yisrael begins. It's not Avraham. Avraham is great, but without Yitzchak is the first time that Avraham will continue. Right? It's the beginning of the nationhood actually begins with Yitzchak. Right? It's the first time that this is going to continue now. And how does it begin? With absurdity, with things that make no sense, that in the natural way of the world should never have happened. Why?
But that Hashem could do anything.
Bingo.
Right, yeah.
Because it's supposed to be reflective forever. That the birth of our nation started with something that makes no logical sense, right? And by the way, there's a lot to this also, not just that it makes no sense, but there were many who mocked, right? Take a look at source number 9. Go outside, this is last week, and count the stars if you can. And he says, just like this will be your children. I said in shul, I'll tell it to you now because it fits perfectly. I said in shul on Shabbos is an amazing pshat from Rav Meir Shapir. Rav Meir Shapir says, we think this means just like there are lots of stars, so many, your children will be so many. He says, that's not the pshat. He says, Avram goes outside and Hashem says, count the stars if you can. What kind of weird things do you have to say? If you can. So he says to Avram, looking at the, it's a million stars. You can't count them. So Avram starts to count to do the impossible. And Hashem says, your kids will be like that. just like you are willing to try it, even though it makes no sense. Mm. Your children, Avram, will be just like that.
Wow.
It's gonna, you will be willing to do that which everyone else tells you makes no sense, right? But beyond that, which is such a, it's like such a beautiful word. But beyond that, what's the next pasuk? Vayahemin b'Hashem, vayichshaveh lo tzedaka. Right? He believes, and Hashem really appreciates it. Vayichshaveh lo tzedaka. He believed in Hashem, good, but Hashem's like, oh, this one really good. What's the pshat? The pshat is, and Rabbi Soloveitchik says this, because Avram's whole life, everyone blasted him, made fun of him, and laughed at him. He said, it was ridiculous. What are you doing? His whole life made no sense to anybody. He was Avram Ivri, that everyone said, "You come on, Avram, give it up already." Right? So I bet on the Shabbos, but also going down to Egypt, etc. The whole thing, everyone was like, give it up already. And he refused. Even Parshas Toldos begins by saying, Ela told us Avram Yitzchak, Avram Holy is Yitzchak. Why say Avram Holy is Yitzchak? Says the Medrash, because Hashem made Yitzchak's face, he made him look just like Avraham. Why? Because people were saying, for 100 years, Avram's with Sarah, or 90 years, whatever. I don't know when they got married. She was 3, whatever, 87, whatever, how old she was. 70 years, I don't know. They were married, and they don't have a baby. And then they show up by Avimelech, and then all of a sudden she comes pregnant. Right, so I'm making fun. So what did Hashem do? He made it that Yitzchak looks just like Avram. What's the pshat? Why, who cares? They call him Leitzanei Hador, the Medrash says. So the Rav says, what's Leitzanei Hador? Who cares about scoffers? The answer is that Avram's whole life was like this. Now, everyone made fun of him and attacked him and said, you're ridiculous and everything you believe in doesn't make any sense. And he stayed the course no matter what. He didn't give in. And so what is the name of his child? Yitzchak. Maybe reflective. Both of those who will mock. Both of the sense of sometimes disbelief, which is hard, and also the sense that in the end of the day, when I recognize and I really do believe, the joy that comes from that life and seeing that Hashem is there, right, is what it's all about. Take a look at the last source here on the page. What do we say, source number 10? Shira Malos, Vishuvah Hashem, Vashivat Zion, Ayin Kachom. I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back from Golis. I'm going to come to Eretz Yisrael. We're going to be like dreamers. And what are we going to say? Az Yimalei Schok Pino Ushonenu Rina. Our mouths will be filled with laughter.
Oh.
We're going to have that ability. Same
Rabbi
words.
Rabbi Akiva laughs.
Very good. Rabbi Akiva laughs. Right, everyone. Why the story laugh? On the Har of Bias.
Yeah.
And there's Fox is there, and everyone's crying. And Rabbi Akiva laughs. Same thing. Very good. The laughing of the Geula. The sense that the laugh is all three at the same time. The laugh is the sense that I everyone's attacking me. What's going to happen in New York City tomorrow? Who knows, right? Like the whole campaign is about hate the Jews. That's about, and Jews are going to vote for him,
still.
Right? But that's the campaign. It's built on it. Right? It's built on the boots of the NYPD are laced with the IDF. What in the world are the boots of the IDF? What does that even mean? What's up to the IDF? It doesn't have anything to do with the IDF.
It means as much as Jews controlling
it. It means there's someone else to blame. It means there's someone else to blame for our problems. That's what it means. It's the same stuff from 80 years ago and from 300 years ago and from 4,000 years ago. It's the same stuff. Blame the Jews. Right? And it will never stop until Mashiach comes. But in the end, yeah, they'll be scoffers. And there'll be times when we have a hard time believing. But in the end of the day, we're going to be able to laugh, to know, to feel the joy. Not laughing at, not laughing back. An inner, right? The laughing, internal laughing of a beauty, of knowing and appreciating that we really, we read all along. And we got it right. And we stuck with it, no matter what. And therefore, it's not surprising that the very first child that Avram Avinu has, the child that Avram Avinu will now be handing things over to, and we're going to learn about more next week, is named by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yitzchak. The ability to recognize, the ability to withstand the mocking, to withstand our own disbelief at times, and to be able, as Hashem, to laugh, a laugh of joy, a laugh of appreciation, for what it means to be Hashem's people.
Can you, I'm sorry, can you just repeat again
Yeah.
what your children will be like that?